Hey everybody, welcome to your Thursday, April 25th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast that has things to talk about this week. Joining me this week are Greg Jan and Mike Lemieux.
Are you really sure that we're the only ones? I'm sure there are other manga podcasts that have something to talk about.
I don't know if there are other manga podcasts that talk about jump manga in general.
There's the
One Piece podcast that spends extremely long amounts of time talking about just the one series, but yeah.
Hey, we do that too.
Though every week it's pretty much just me going, Fishman Island sucks, remember Water 7?
And me going like, oh, you're stupid, remember Enel, he was awesome.
He's more awesome now that I know he was based off Eminem.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he automatically wins because he's based off Eminem, but yeah.
I always enjoyed that he was apparently named after an Italian power company. I thought that was really clever.
I did not know that.
I had heard that that's heresy or whatever, hearsay.
Hearsay, yeah.
Not heresy.
Heresy would be as if the Italian power company were also the Vatican.
Well, he is a god, so it could also be heresy.
Did you actually hit up Google to see if there is an Italian power company named that?
They don't have the internet in Italy.
That's true.
That's a fact.
I heard it on the internet,
therefore it's true. But yeah, that's like, what's it called?
Yes,
supposedly,
NL.com. Yeah.
Supposedly, confirmed. Guts. Okay. Supposedly, Guts from Berserk was not actually named after this medieval guy who had lost his hand and replaced it with a mechanical or with a metal glove hand named.
Was he named after
or something like that?
Was he named after Nickelodeon Guts, the sports show where they climbed the foam mountain?
It was his favorite show, I'm sure.
Yeah, that show was awesome. I wanted to climb that thing.
The well, aggro
was that mangaka's name?
What it was
the Tamamura, the Berserk guy.
Mura, I believe.
Mura, yeah. I thought of him this week because they released all the Idolmaster games on iOS for $55 a pop. So I thought he would probably buy like all three of those, wouldn't he?
There are a few times where I regret having an Android phone. This is one of those times.
It's really sad how we all associate Idolmaster with Berserk so much at this point.
Is that even true?
I think he made a joke once.
Yeah.
Like, just a kind of a joke, like, obvious, like, why haven't you been doing it? Oh, I've been playing Idolmaster, just like as a joke. And everyone took it way too seriously.
It would be, I mean, that's a story far better than the actual manga, if that's true. If he just, he can't finish it, because he loves Idolmaster so much.
You want, like, the behind-the-scenes documentary, like, the shaky cam, all his producer, you know, his editor's like, come on, you have to do another chapter, and he's just sitting there, he's like, but I need to be the best idol! I'm only rank S, I need to get up to double S.
Do you remember that one mangaka in Bakuman that was, like, Hikamori that he never actually interacted with people and played games all the time?
And then he
never
mattered.
And that never came up again?
Yeah.
I wonder if that was Mura.
I'd buy it.
Just the recluse that nobody talks to or ever sees.
Yeah. We'll just put this one guy in here and then forget about him.
I bet.
But in all seriousness, I think that the real reason it's so slow is just his artwork is so ridiculous now.
Yeah. So you wanted to talk a little bit about Madoka Box, Mike.
Yes. I haven't read the whole thing, so I'm no expert on it, but I've been following it for basically the last arc. And it ended this week, and it ended really well. Like,
that's surprising, because last week you said that you have no idea how they're going to add on to the finality of last week's chapter.
So, Madoka Box is kind of a troll series, on a greater scale than Beelzebub, but you know how Beelzebub subverts your expectations?
Yeah.
Madoka Box is just like that all the time. Like, it's just freaking nonsense, nonstop. And the ending was the biggest troll of all, where it was just a normal, happy ending for all the characters. With no frills, just everybody continues their life normally. Which
I thought, hey, if it tied everything up, then that works just fine, right?
It kind of didn't, but it just like
I thought she became the principal and
yeah, and then it time skips and she's just still the principal and everyone's an adult now. And it did something I thought was really smart, like all the characters lost their amazing abilities as they grew older. Their like special powers.
Mm-hmm.
They apparently go away as you age. So
like once you're past puberty, then
yeah, the main guy says he was getting worried because at 22 he still had his powers, but they eventually went away.
Did they then meet on a rooftop and start singing their old favorites?
Well, actually, it ends with him challenging her to a fight, Madoka to a fight, and it's if he wins, she has to marry him, which has come up before, but they've never actually got around to the fight. And then she says, "Okay, I'll take you on, but if I win, you have to marry me." And then he takes a second. He's like, "Wait, what?" And then end of the series.
So it actually ends sort of sweetly.
Yeah, it shows like all the characters, you know, as adults having children and stuff.
Nice.
And it's, you know, it's refreshing after seeing so many series just get smash canceled.
Yeah.
To where they can't do anything, to have one actually, like, it's ending on its own terms and it's ending very nicely.
It Speaking did everything of things that... ending quickly, there's two other series that are going to be dying soon.
Okay, let's... Okay, Hungry Joker and, I guess, Kuroko, right? Is that what we're... Kuroko?
I think it's a toss-up between Kuroko and Crossmanage.
Crossmanage sells.
So is Kuroko, though.
Okay, here's my two...
Has Kuroko really had that many volumes to be able to sell that much?
I think they're willing... They might be willing to bet on potential.
Okay, let's go around and name two. Okay, I'll go first. Hungry Joker, Koyosuru Edison.
Isn't that doing, like, weirdly well?
It's doing depressingly well for how terrible it is, but it's still down there. Yeah, no. I'm going Hungry Joker and Kuroko at this point.
Yeah, I'm going to say Hungry Joker and Kuroko.
They trade back and forth at the bottom.
I think it'll... In a better or a different time, it maybe they would have let it go, but now there's no point.
Okay, what if left field, One Piece? Just next week, it's like the tournament ends, and it's like, thank you. Look forward to Oda Sensei's next work.
That would win for greatest troll. Then I think that would pass up, Beals and Madoka Box for that.
The guy underneath the armor this week is Gold Roger, and he's back from the dead.
We should do that. We should make up and like, if One Piece had to end next week, how would you end it?
I don't think that it's humanly possible.
Luffy wins, he gets the fire fruit, and he eats it, and you actually do die if you eat two fruits. So, at the end of the series. Doflamingo goes on to be the Pirate King. Whoops.
Or the rest of his band continues on.
So the new series which are going to be coming out next week is something called Soul Catchers, and I couldn't find anything about a one-shot for that, but the author of it previously has done Light Wing, which was a soccer manga that only made it to three volumes.
I was not going to guess soccer manga.
Yeah, I had no idea when I went looking for it, and it said that it was a soccer manga, and I was like, okay... then Muto Black had a one-shot about a year ago. I couldn't find any translation of that, but now that it's getting picked up, it's possible that those might start appearing. And Smokey BB, once more, couldn't find anything about it itself, but the author of it previously made a fantasy comedy that only made it to two volumes. So
these all sound super generic. Like, yeah, from the names alone.
I found what appears to be a page of Soul Catchers. And with very little context, it's a couple guys in school uniforms.
That's really breaking the mold.
Yeah, I mean, I have never seen anything quite like that in Jump.
And with that really inspired title, then it's got to be amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of being dicks about it.
We'll watch it be amazing, and then we'll have
Are you saying that this is already your new favorite manga?
The new Taka?
No.
Just leave it there. Just no.
I'm actually trying to find more information on it. I found something that looks like Muto Black. The other one is an action series. And yeah.
That could be interesting, just because the name is different. I'm judging books by that cover here.
Soul Catchers, apparently the one shot, was not very action-oriented, but this person says it seems like something that could be set up to be an action series. And they also hate the art, but I find the art interesting, if you want to look at a picture right here.
That's not bad. I don't dislike that.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's not offensive.
It's very shoujo-y.
Yeah, it's stretched a little bit.
That guy's arm is broken.
When you guys said, like, Attack on Titans...
This is the cover of the Muto Black, so, yeah.
Yeah.
When you guys said Attack on Titan, like, that the anime is really well done and the manga kind of held it back art-wise... I didn't believe you until I actually saw the manga.
Yeah, no, it is really sketchy.
So
it's rough.
Have you guys very...
The other thing is that like a lot of the characters look very similar to one another, and when it's in color, they're now visually distinct, so you can actually tell who's talking
and who's eating a potato.
So have you guys heard about the Aku no Hana anime?
Yes, the rotoscoped anime.
Yes, it's
that looks like hot garbage.
So I'm sure Greg hasn't heard about it.
Yeah, I am not familiar.
It's this really good series that we might be talking on some kind of future romance manga themed podcast, but it's basically about a guy that has no connection to the world and is a sociopath and wants to kill everybody and escape. And okay. meets like other horrible people. And so they all look like, you know, really, you know, anime. Everyone's good looking. So when the anime adaptation came, the author thought that the anime style didn't suit it, so he wanted to rotoscope actors. And everyone's kind of ugly. Which fits the series, actually. Like,
the premise sounds a ton like a something Satoshi Kon would make.
Yeah, it's... I don't know, it's very serious and not, like, feel-good school times, so...
Yeah.
It's very interesting to see people's reactions to this anime. I haven't watched it yet, but the people that have been watching all the episodes seem to think that the art suits it to a T. Like,
maybe I should look in. It's not a long thing, is it? It's not going to be like three seasons long.
It's still going, but I'm sure they could end it at... It recently had a time skip, and it hasn't been very good after the time skip. So they might just end it at a critical point in their childhood.
See, I liked Anohana because it was so short, and apparently it's something that's very much not liked in anime circles. Like, people are like, oh, that's so simple and ends too quickly with not a lot of build-up, but I don't have time for... three season anime.
I will warn you that Aku no Hana is kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I'm sure. I remember you telling me, like, you showed me a picture and it was like, oh, that's just after she raped somebody.
Yeah, no, the main character, yeah. Okay, I'm not going to spoil it because it is an anime that's airing now, but stuff happens that is not
rapey and
maybe, you know, maybe there's also fire involved with people. Who knows? Okay. Who can say?
On a scale of Azumanga Daioh to Berserk, where is this?
I never saw Azumanga Daioh.
I'd like to see
neither
that.
Neither have I just know about it.
I know, so you guys should watch that. It's a cute anime.
I started it, and I just couldn't get into it. I'm not a huge fan of the whole sketch thing.
Yeah.
Any medium, so yeah.
So to bring this back to manga, if you're going, like, if you had to choose between reading Azumanga and Yatsubato, read Yatsubato.
Oh, that
it is,
manga
the most,
is good, it is good feels in image form.
If you're having a bad day, that manga will lift you up.
If you had a bad day, if...
No.
I can't remember anymore of those.
No leaves. Shaggy. Is that Shaggy? I don't know. They all sound the same.
I don't know. It's Feist or something. Who cares?
I don't think that's Feist. Feist is a woman, for one. So speaking of women...
I knew that's where that was going to go.
Misaki is still caught up in her hollow hole.
This is Bleach, to be clear.
Yes.
So she's falling into her hole.
Yeah, and is it me or is this like super bad art?
It's so I'm wondering how much of this anymore is like the art of the series itself or overzealous cleaners of the scans.
I don't know, you read Shonen Jump.
Well no, but I'm just saying, oh yeah, that's a good point. I should But it's just something that has occurred to me is that if you get a cleaner who, you know, completely wipes out everything and makes it really blotchy, then that the art would suffer from it itself.
Yeah, there was that thing when Aoi Kiji was hinted at in One Piece, and it, you know, I saw the pictures of the page, like the raws, and it's like, oh yeah, that's clearly him. Like, you can see how he's sitting. And then when the scan later came out, it was just like a black amorphous blob that kind of was ill-defined. It's like, oh, that's not good at all.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, they do have a rough job trying to clean up some of those scans.
Yeah.
So that's open interpretation, but if this art is accurate to what Kubotide drew, it's really sort of bad.
I find it weird that she's naked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's coming from me.
That is a very good point.
But I think that's...
I mean, I suppose it's her inner self. Why would she be wearing clothes? But
yeah.
I'm sure at times Ichigo has gone inside of himself, and I'm sure he's been not naked.
Yeah, he's probably worn a Shinigami robe.
Yeah, I remember specific times that he's like met
so
with
So what
Zangetsu
you're saying is that she should be wearing a Quincy robe right now.
Sure. Or, you know, just like the clothes she's wearing now.
Yeah.
Just
I mean, take some artistic license with it to not be weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just the way she's like splayed out and it like pans out on her.
Yeah. So she's being terrorized by Whitey, who has...
She didn't whack hard enough.
Yeah. Who has, according to Urahara, been injected herself or himself into her through some sort of soul transfer that he nicknamed Soul Suicide.
So...
When it's really more, you know... Yeah.
So, they've adopted zombie rules for hollows now.
Yeah.
If you get bit or scratched, you're going to turn into a hollow.
Well, just for this one type.
Because he's special Aizen hollow.
Yeah.
So Urahara spends the next, let's say, 10 pages
explaining
everything.
So much talking.
They really, yeah.
I mean, basically, Urahara says he can't directly fix it, but if the Shinigami Ishin, like, lends his power in, then they can be diametrically opposed, and then Ishin has to spend his life
with
protecting her.
Yeah,
and that's why, you know, it'll suicide against him instead, or something like that.
And he even goes so far to say as like, yeah, you know, you might get your powers back when she dies. It's like,
yeah,
we kind of put that together.
Didn't need to explain that.
That's a really weird thing to say, like when you're talking about saving her life.
So I really did like this one thing where it sets it up as Urahara giving him this huge life-ending choice, that this is the biggest thing he's ever going to have to decide. And I was thinking to myself, there's no tension here because we already know what he's going to decide. And they use that as a joke. And they just have it and just go, whatever.
Yeah, just do it.
Yep.
Sounds good to me.
And then I enjoy
smart
the,
and funny.
I enjoy the Ryu and Urahara panel.
Reactions?
After. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, he obviously did not think that he was going to.
Yeah.
Even Ryu was like screaming about, like...
Like, he thought that, oh, there's no one who would ever do this.
Yeah, you know, the terrible choice of live with this hot girl for the rest of her life. Man.
And apparently, like, I guess maybe you'll have kids? Whatever.
I don't know, you can do whatever. You just have to be close to her. I'm not going to watch. Okay, I'm going to watch.
But yeah, Ishin says, oh, I have regrets, but I couldn't live with myself if I let this girl die. So
and
then he goes...
I mean, they don't really get into details about whether or not, oh, you know, and then when she dies and you get your powers back, then you'll just continue living forever. Or, you know, if you die first, then you'll just go back to Soul Society and that will be that.
There really does not seem to be a lot of consequence to this. Like,
there's no consequence to anything.
Well, it's like, you could let her die, or, you know, you could let her live. This has no bearing on you at all.
Nah.
You're perfectly fine either way.
You just have to give up your, you know, responsibilities for a couple of years.
And the...
Basically what he's saying is, do you know how you're dead? Would you like to not be dead and live with a hot woman? And everyone's surprised when he says yes.
And then he goes into her head and catches her.
See? Ishin's aged from here, too, so I guess he's become actually human.
Yeah, well, he's grown a beard, I mean.
And he looks like he's physically aged.
Yeah. They're really weird with how Shinigami age, because they're like, it's like, oh, he's 300 years old and he looks like a kid. Oh, she's 100 years old and she looks like an old lady.
Then Toshiro aged like 3 years in the span of 10.
They age when the camera's on them and like just stay perfectly still.
I think Matsumoto got older between this flashback and
her hair
when Bleach actually picks up. But yeah, Bleach is super inconsistent about age. Anyway, Ishin goes into the hollow hole.
Hey guys, guess what? He's going to save Misaki and live with her.
I don't see how
I am astonished. I did not expect that was going to happen.
Yeah, who could have seen that happening? I think we said last week.
Yeah. I think what we didn't expect is that he would be saving her while she was naked.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole thing is basically that one joke, right? Like
the build into, I'll do it. Yeah. I mean, that's why he had like 10 pages before... Just like, oh, this is the hardest decision anyone's going to have to make.
So the first panel of next chapter is going to be, and that's how I met your mother, right?
Why did you sound like Bob Saget when you were telling me about it?
Why are we now 8 years older? That would be great if did they put Ichigo on that couch in that room. I would appreciate the hell out of that. Though I don't think he knows enough about that show or Western culture to make that reference.
I sometimes wonder how much Western culture they actually, you know, consume in Japan.
I think the Ass Class guy would make that reference.
That's the only
thing
you would do. You guys are saying stuff about couches and stuff, and I have literally never seen that show. All I know is that the father sounds like Bob Saget for some reason, even though he's already an adult when he's telling the story.
The setup is he's telling those kids about how he met their mother.
But then talking about like all these other women he slept with.
Yeah. So it's this long line of how to get there. But the kids are just sitting on this couch, and since they've obviously aged past that in the last 8 years, they just use pre-recorded footage of them just sitting there whenever they have to show them, and they're just like staring at like their dad telling the story. It's super dumb.
I think my favorite part of the entire, you know, telling a story thing that I'm aware of is the whole eating sandwiches running joke. In that any time in the series somebody is smoking pot, then they show he because he's telling his kids this story, he doesn't want to talk about smoking pot, so he tells them that they're eating sandwiches. But it's just played straight. So in the flashbacks, these people are like eating enormous sandwiches that are making them hungrier, or, you know, people are passing around a single sandwich that everybody's taking bites out of and stuff like that.
Yep. Bleach.
Yep, so from How I Met Your Mother to Beelzebub.
How I Met Your Demon. Really, nothing?
That wasn't very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't sugarcoat it.
Should have gone with Devil instead of Demon. It would have played a lot better.
You could have said, like, How I Met Your Whitey. Like, that would at least have the Whitey joke in there for us
to
laugh at.
That's on Beelzebub.
Oh, wait. Okay, I see what you're doing.
Yeah. See? Is that any better?
What about How I Met Your Queen?
How I Met Your Furuichi.
Oh, this isn't
so,
working at
moving
all.
Moving on.
Now, Furuichi and Lamia are walking to Oga's house when they meet up with Kenzaki and Kaneda.
Who
are also on the way to Oga's house.
And they think,
I like how suspiciously they ask Furuichi, like, what are you two doing out?
And why are you out here alone? I do love that everyone just assumes they're a couple and doesn't question it anymore.
They're weirded out by it still.
Does she live at Furuichi's house? Like, she's walking from Furuichi's house to Oga's house.
I don't think she lives in the human world. She probably came out of Allendale.
Who lives at Furuichi's house, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably lives in like under his bed.
Or over his bed, who knows? Just like on the ceiling staring down at him at all times.
That would be kind of great. So Furuichi explains that they're going to Oga's house to talk about the King's Crest. And they meet up with Oga's sister at the door.
We should say that the title of this chapter is great.
King's Crest for Dummies.
Yes.
So Furuichi obviously knows Oga's sister. Kunaeda is Misha for the second time and is very reverent and respectful.
Bowing. And Kanzaki calls her
a little embarrassed.
Yeah. Kanzaki calls her an old hag.
Yeah.
And she immediately puts him through the door.
Wonderful power establishment right there.
Yeah. She's
got to be as strong as Oga, right?
I wouldn't be surprised if she were stronger.
Yeah.
Maybe not Milk Time Oga.
Yeah, stronger minus Beals.
Yeah.
I do like the whole duality of her, you know, making jokes about wondering if Oga was, you know, preparing something because Kunieta was coming over isn't she supposed to believe that he and Hilda are a couple?
I think Misaki knows more, or... Is her name Misaki?
Yeah.
It is. Anyway.
It is weird.
She knows more than she lets on.
Yeah.
I think she knows completely what's up.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah. So anyway,
they go into Oga's room.
And they're playing a card game.
Well, I was going to point out that all of Oga's family, obviously except Beale, is wearing black to establish, like, you know, they're all one cohesive unit. So I kind of wonder if she's coming into this arc somehow.
Yeah, she has been around a lot more lately.
Yeah.
They've been developing her as a character very slowly, but, you know, successfully.
I don't know if I'd say a lot more, but yeah.
I mean, the last couple arcs she's made appearances when she hasn't for a long time before that.
And also the fact that the Red Tails are like, that the leadership is becoming somewhat of a thing.
Like Hokage level passing torches.
I can see that she would come back to be involved somehow.
Just gonna have to explain to Sasuke what's going on.
So when I was a kid,
I knew this other gang had brain problems where they loved you.
Speaking of brain problems, Oga and Beal are playing a
Pokemon
hand-drawn card game
that looks
where all of the cards are basically based off of them.
Yeah, and Oga plays the sexy queen. Airline flight?
No, it's the queen, and her attack is sexy airline.
And Beals plays the glasses. And also, Oga counters with the glasses breaker, which is represented by Himikawa, like,
so
his glasses shattering.
You know the secret joke I like here the most? Is that whenever they think of Himikawa, they think of glasses. Not Pompadour. Glasses. Like, that's his defining characteristic to them.
Well, of course. I mean, the pompadour is perfectly normal.
I thought you were going to say the secret joke is, after a while, everything becomes action lines. Like, it's very gradual, but at a certain point, that's the entire background.
Yes.
Like every card manga.
And then everyone is just watching dumbfounded at these idiots play this card game.
Come on, this will be more fun with more players.
He made a...
Because it's how Oga wanted to teach them about the King's Crest. By playing this card game.
So instead, he'll just Skypes in and tells them.
Yeah.
Takes over the TV.
And they find out about Kuneda's brand, which, as I've always said, if there's a brand on a woman in a manga, it's always on the chest.
Yes. That's her sexy airline.
Yep. And Furuichi can't help but creep out for this.
Creepichi.
Yep. So they all sit down and they drink from a... Rice boy mugs.
Yes, I like that callback.
Yeah.
And it just explains that what the King's Crest is. It's a title given to those that swear a lifelong allegiance to the king.
So it's kind of what we guessed it was.
Yeah.
It all came from that meeting.
Yeah. And it's a joint thing of Oga and Beals.
And Lamia implies that it's a lot like getting married, and Kaneda is lost in reverie for a bit.
And then Kanzaki interrupts and says, don't act like that. I'm his bride too, and takes off his shirt.
Yeah, which ruins Kuneda's fantasy.
Because she has a two instead of a one.
Yes.
This page was just fantastic. I was laughing aloud while reading it.
Yeah. And they explain that, there's the upstarts that are, they can't be battled without the King's Crest.
Yeah, I enjoy just kind of breaking down the state of the manga, showing Nasu and Ringo having been defeated and four more people standing in their way.
I still think that guy looking like Oga is a plot point.
He's also up front and the biggest on there.
Yeah, and on the very next page, it's like, I'm sure the way this was set up is that they were supposed to have some sort of duality there, because Oga's in the same place in the next page.
Yeah. So
they all talk sort of matter-of-factly about the fact that Himikawa has gone rogue.
Do they know?
It seems like they do. They mention it.
Well, no. I think that he... Because if you remember, the Toho Shinki were these two, Himikawa and Tojo, right? That was the four of them, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what they're saying is they just want to collect all the Toho Shinki first.
Oh, okay.
And then the part after that is other people talking as they watch Himikawa through the blinds.
Yeah.
It did seem strange.
And then also, they said maybe not Tojo just because... I'm assuming because he hasn't sworn loyalty or whatever.
Yeah, they can probably count on Himikawa over Tojo, whoops.
Which then leads to Tojo and Himikawa confronting each other.
I would like to point out, they do show the Demon Crest on what ends up being Takamiya, I think is what his name was. And it does look like an angel. Remember last week they called themselves angels?
Oh, yeah, the Fallen Angels.
Yeah, it looks like a person with there's like a halo in the middle and wings coming off to the side.
I haven't made that connection. Good point.
Also, on that logo, the numbers are like down and off into the corner. It doesn't replace part of the symbol like on everyone else's so far.
Huh.
So,
well, we don't know if there's part of the symbol there or not because we haven't seen the original one. We've only seen the guy with the one.
I just wonder about the graphic designer in hell that's coming up with the logos for everybody. I mean, these don't just happen organically. There's got to be something.
So I'm guessing he confronts Tojo at his job or after work.
There's construction equipment all around.
Yeah, and like a sorry for construction message behind him. So Kimikawa says he's going to follow Takamiya, and Tojo has no idea who that is because he's not been involved in this arc
And
much at all,
well, I thought
and
that
we
there
don't.
was the one fight that he was involved in on the first day too, right? That we don't still don't know what happened with it.
Yeah.
I think he fought Fujiyama.
And looks okay. No wounds for the wear.
So maybe Fujiyama doesn't have a demon? Or maybe he threw that fight for some reason. Or maybe there was no fight. We don't know.
So as we know, Takamiya, the Taka from it is the hawk from the start of this arc.
So basically the next big bad that they
Yes.
have to deal with.
So Himekawa rolls up his sleeve and has a demon symbol with the number 3.
Well, it's an angel symbol, to be fair.
Yes. So
Actually,
then shows the aftermath of his fight with Tojo.
blood on the ground, and Himikawa's beaten but not down.
It
And
was a close
Tojo
fight.
is on the ground.
Tojo
And he says,
is defeated.
and Himikawa is missing his front teeth.
And it's
They
the
did.
start of Act Two.
Yes. I would guess of 3.
So I didn't see this, like, even despite last week, I didn't completely see this coming.
No, I wasn't expecting him to actually go along with joining up with.
I think he's playing the long con because I went back to look and see if he actually took part in this, like, the swearing loyalty to whoever, wins the rock, paper, scissor game thing, which he does. He leaves after that. Saying that he's still aiming to be number one at the school. So it seems weird that he'd go and immediately be subservient to somebody.
Also, Kenzaki specifically called out Himikawa as knowing that Oga was the king. When he first got his crest, he said, well, Himikawa has already realized it. So I'm guessing they wouldn't do that if.
So if Kuneida is the queen and Kanzaki's the what is it, the soldier or
The
general,
general,
then is Himekawa the spy?
I could see that.
Like, is that his role in this kingdom?
The Chancellor or something
Seems
like that.
reasonable. Or maybe what Himikawa is doing is he wants to be top in the school, so he's pledging himself to all of the demons and is going to take all of their power.
Oh man, he just takes off his shirt and he just has demon symbols all over him with various numbers. That'd be cool to see.
But
he's strong enough to beat Tojo, so.
Yeah, so that's important that he beat Tojo. That's a big deal that we're kind of brushing past.
Because he said that even though, like, he beat him, it was pretty difficult.
This is
Yeah, he's lost
basically
some of
like
his teeth.
Tien beating up Vegeta.
That's not an
Toriyama
unreasonable
should
comparison,
he should make that manga.
Because Kanzaki is Yamcha. That's why he can be Yamcha.
Okay, no. Kenzaki won a fight recently.
Yeah. Oh, using
You can't make
Goku's
the.
spirit power. Yeah.
I mean,
so
no,
in
you
other
can't
words,
make
you're
the
saying he's
comparison.
Krillin now.
When did Krillin win a fight?
Krillin's won a couple of fights.
Name
In
them.
the original Dragon Ball?
Yeah, name them.
He won all the way up to Goku in the first tournament.
Ooh, yeah, big tough battles there.
They were.
No, wait,
They.
he lost to Master Roshi, didn't he?
Then how did he get to Goku?
They fought in the semifinals or something. Oh yeah, you're right. Okay.
He had to have lost to Goku.
In my mind, it was just like, no way, Goku makes it to the finals. He didn't
I
fight anyone else.
can't think of anything else.
He
Yeah.
cuts
Golly
off
Futures?
Frieza's tail.
No, that was no, yeah, that's true. For some reason I thought that was Yajirobe. But he wasn't there.
Wrong fight.
And then Frieza penetrates him.
In fairness, that's pretty much the same fight.
Yeah.
Except like up until Super Saiyan, that's exactly the same fight.
So, Beelzebub.
Tojo's down.
Where do we go next?
Yeah. The.
I imagine that Himikawa, they're gonna have to deal with him before they deal with Taka.
Yeah, he's number 3, so there's at least one other person in Takamiya's group.
I'm gonna bet Kenzaki is gonna fight him.
Yeah. They're kind of bros, sorta.
Who else
I
is
could
in
see
there?
that, and then it would also allow for a bit of a, establishing whose demon is stronger, maybe, sort of thing.
Yeah. Who else is in the huddle that pledged their king's crest?
Oh, I think Chiaki and Nene were there, and
I was going to say the other Red Tails.
The rest of Tojo's group, and so, like, just about everybody else.
Nene has been completely neutered. There's no making her strong at this point.
Furuichi was in the circle, wasn't he?
Yeah, I believe he tried for it, too. Yeah, Furuichi's going to be the Chancellor.
I would love it if Furuichi fought Feigoga. And just went to town on him. I think that... Well, I guess that would be too much like that last arc.
Furuichi's going to get the demon powers and then go back to the pool and beat up the people that beat him up.
He electrified them and nearly killed them.
It's not enough. It's never enough.
Furuichi is apparently sociopathic.
Yes.
Yeah, so Tojo down, Himikawa victorious. Nobody realizes that he's a bad guy yet.
Yeah. Interesting development.
Regardless of which way he falls, that'll be an interesting double take when he reveals where he's actually standing.
Yeah, Beals is getting kind of serious. I am slightly disappointed we're just going right into another fight so quick.
I don't know that we are immediately.
Yeah, I guess
there's going to have to be some, like,
it's not
backstage
going to be
stuff.
Next week, Oga kicking down the door on Takamiya's room and saying, let's fight. Yeah.
Chapter certainly had enough levity unto itself.
Yeah, this chapter was more gag than action, I think.
I really enjoy all the Kaneda stuff.
Yeah. It was good comedy.
You know, I didn't notice this before, but if you look at the snow around Tojo, Kimikawa put him down so hard he cratered into it.
Yeah, I do like that last page with the footprints in the snow. Like, it's really well drawn, especially when we were just complaining about, like, Bleach.
Well, I mean, Beelzebub has backgrounds, and Bleach never does.
They're just always fighting in really bright places, with no floors or ceilings or walls.
Up in the air.
You know, in this weird room we have under the Senate that goes on forever and has no features.
I always thought that's why Naruto did that one arc first, the Mist arc.
Just to cut the budget
background
early
on. Yeah, I wonder. That would be actually really smart.
All right, then. Done with Beelzebub?
I'm looking at the cards in Beelzebub, and I notice that Kaneda's type is woman. And Himekawa's type is man.
I like how they just spent all night making that, too.
I like that there's apparently a structure to this game.
Yeah, cut them out of cardboard.
Oga likes his production values.
Now, obviously, they're going to come out with actual merchandise for this game.
I would buy it.
That should be the Beelzebub video game.
If the graphics look like they do in the card game. In the manga, I mean.
All right. Then on to Nisekoi?
Yes. One chapter, basically.
I feel bad, because I said last week that was the most contrived Nisekoi could ever get, and it actually got more contrived.
Eh, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah,
it's pretty...
This one's not as bad.
They run into someone outside of school. That's... I mean, last week...
They run into someone outside of school 4 times in a row.
Dude, last week was handcuffs made to explode if your heart rate goes up.
Okay. Okay. They made a literal plot device last time.
This is accidentally running into somebody at work. I mean, it's not... This
right,
is
well,
something
we'll
that actually happens.
We'll go through it, and then we'll... As we say this piece by piece, we'll see what you guys think. But, in my opinion, it's super fucking contrived.
Also, as you pointed out, like, second page, right there... The Jump Next issue that will be released on May 1st will feature an extra with Chitoge and Sugumi in a bath.
I kind of wonder what he's aiming for there. Surely not better ratings.
No.
I completely overlooked that the first time. I just didn't even bother reading the caption text at the bottom.
My eyes just instantly shoot to Chitoge and Sugumi in a bath. I didn't even read the rest of the page.
Like, that's the creepiest thing.
That is incredibly pandering.
Hey, you know, in this next issue, couple high school girls in the bath, just saying.
You should,
I mean,
pick
I'm hoping maybe he means bathhouse and it's less weird. But still.
Okay,
still
sure, weird. Whatever helps. Anyway.
Well, I'm always the one who yells at Nisekoi for this sort of bullshit.
Anyway, they meet Mari at her job at a restaurant.
Yes, she is a waitress.
And she's terrible at it.
Yes.
She is the world's clumsiest waitress.
But in
she believes they should lodge a complaint because the plates are too slippery.
Yes, and she tells the customers that the cheap meat that they ordered is done.
Yeah, and gives Chitoge terrible food.
One french fry on a plate with a garnish. I love that.
While giving Raku, like, the hero's banquet of ice cream.
And the garnish was the most important part of that french fry, definitely.
Chitoge asks for more food, and she gets brought a plate of ketchup.
And her objection is she won't be able to eat all of that ketchup.
Not without more fries. And then in what I think is a really nice moment in the chapter, they ask the boss why he keeps her around, and it's because she's so upbeat and happy. Like, everybody likes her.
I know this is supposed to be innocent, but it, like, the panel it's in is, like, it really looks like there's a bunch of nerds just lusting after her.
Well, yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be like, oh, she's so innocent and happy, and she makes everyone happy. And,
there's a bunch of grown men, like, falling over their seats to look at her.
Yeah, while she's in her, like, maid cafe outfit.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, you look at the outfit, what sort of restaurant do you think this is?
I'm just saying, it's not as upbeat as it seems. Also, the manager looks weird.
So then the Yakuza shows up.
Yeah, and they're like,
well,
hey.
Well, one of the Yakuza.
Well, a group of the Yakuza.
No, the Yakuza.
No, one of the families, because aren't both of them from different families that are gangsters?
One's the Yakuza, one's the Mafia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's totally different. And then the Mafia shows up, and all the people that entails.
And Chitoge and Raku have to defuse the situation by saying, oh, we're on a very special date, which Mari overhears and freaks out.
And starts hugging Raku right in front of the Mafia.
Which makes them think that Raku is stepping out on Chitoge.
Claude pulls a gun on him.
And it's then a reasonable reaction.
The special forces come in.
Which is, I believe, is the first time we see them.
Yeah.
I guess so.
So it's Mari's group of people and young guy that leads them.
Well, they are the subordinates of Mari's father.
Yeah. I do love that it's still the same formula of a generic crowd with one good-looking guy leading them.
So now everyone's getting into a big fight and starting to yell, and Chitoge and Raku can't calm them down anymore.
Well, of course not. They have no pull with the police.
And then,
well, they can't even calm down the Yakuza or the Mafia.
And then the gears in Mari's head begin to turn. Which,
like, she has the cutest reactions in this chapter. The actual thought process going, and then the ding in her head.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes, like, actual gear sounds. You know, it's like, whir, ding.
So she summons up all her breath and then freaks out and screams at everybody that they should not be fighting in a restaurant bothering the customers.
In her very unwholesome accent.
I'm going to assume it's a Kansai dialect.
Yeah.
Just based on anime.
She's probably more boorish than the Yakuza. And she tosses them all out.
And then I like her triumphant, like, finished
Chibi
pose.
Yeah.
Yes.
With the huge head.
Yes.
So Raku, Chitoge, and Mari walk home together. And they start questioning, like, I don't know, you know, it's impressive you did that, but I'm not sure why you're really working there. And she admits that she is saving up for her wedding with Raku.
I love Chitoge's reaction to it.
And to get, you know, that special house she's always been dreaming of.
Because it turns out when Raku was a child, he was an idiot.
And a very specific idiot.
Yeah. He said he wanted a house that's big and high up, and you can see it in the ocean. It has lots of animals, it has wings, and can move around.
And, of course, Mari has no opinions of her own and can only desire things that Raku did when he was a kid, so therefore...
So... Her house is like her bed pointed at this picture of a house that she drew with wings and feet.
I think Raku drew that.
Oh.
Because he has a crayon in that one panel.
Ah, okay. But under that she has a giant jar full of payslips.
Yeah. Because...
sweet, but also sad.
Cray-cray. Super cray-cray.
why is she acting so cray cray?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's sort of adorable in one way, but also, why?
Greg, you're overthinking it. This is the dark side of romance manga that you cannot think about, or else you start getting really depressed.
We brought that up pretty much every Nisekoi.
Not everyone, but yeah, more and more, it's just gotten kind of depressing.
No, yeah. No, don't think about it.
I mean, in the best case scenario, either everyone's going to be in some weird Manson family with Raku, or he's going to break a bunch of people's hearts.
I mean, let's be fair, it is just like their middle school romance.
Yeah, and also this manga will probably end before that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, not like it's not going to get canceled. I mean, that's how harem anime goes.
Is it? Ends
I think that the problem is that basically all of the girls are more likable than the guy.
Yeah.
You like want good things for all girls. Like, you don't care. You actually almost don't want them to end up with Raku. Like, stop. Just screw Raku. Go find somebody else. You're a good
girl. I've
been
pretty clear about my Onodere ex Chitoge shipping.
Too bad it's not them in the hot tub, huh?
You know, I kind of wonder if this issue is like a response to that crazy guy.
Just
like, because he comes home and she puts like a piece of paper in this giant fishbowl
like
and just stares at it longingly. I wonder if it's the manga head going, oh god, what is happening?
He's just like holding up a mirror to this one guy and being like, do you see?
No, he just, that's what he did with all of the submissions that the one guy made, is now he's got that bowl of money that he keeps at his office.
I like the picture, the idea of this guy coming home and he's got like a frame picture of Marika on the wall with a bowl underneath it full of votes, and he just sits there staring at the picture, kicking his feet.
What that guy, that's a disturbing mental image.
There's like some Japanese kid that we make fun of every week that has no idea.
He's probably like 12.
Yeah. His dad.
I don't think that a 12-year-old has that sort of money.
He's studying for exams.
Probably has a body pillow, let's be honest.
It's just a drawing of Marika on it.
Yeah, there's no official one, it's just...
He makes do.
We're so mean to this kid now, I feel bad.
You're developing such a persona for this person.
Well, let's be honest, it's because it would depress us if he was like 28.
No, he's probably like 42. Let's be super honest.
I gotta wonder what... That is what my mental image always was, so...
I wonder what the average, like, over 20 readership age is for Jump.
I wonder about...
Is it, like, early 20s, or up into 30s, or what?
I believe, when we got, like, those numbers way back when, wasn't Nisekoi one of those things that's like, yeah, little kids and really old guys like it. You know, it's kind of a My Little Pony demographic.
No, I want to stop talking about Nisekoi.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, and which one of those do we fall into? Oh, wait.
Yeah, these creepy people that like talk about prepubescent girls' relationships every week. Made myself...
Chitoge and Tsugumi in a bath next week.
I'll read it.
Cha-ching. All right,
moving on.
On to Naruto.
Which was kind of a check back in at the battle and remind everybody what's going on sort of chapter.
Also, like, they specifically just outright state what's going on in several panels.
Also, Sakura exists again, so.
Yeah.
She's been gone for a while. I was wondering what was up with that.
Like, there's a couple of panels of people saying, oh, we'd have been dead if not for the chakra Naruto gave us.
Yes.
That is, as if the halos around everybody.
As if the fact that it looks like the fox on them is not enough. And for then, us to remember.
And then QB comes in and, hey, Naruto, this is very stressful on your body. You should probably let me do it. Oh, no, you're going to do it? Okay.
It sure would be helpful if you, for some reason, got, like, an extra 50% of chakra.
Yeah, you know, I'm just about running on empty. We could really use a refuel. Oh, well.
Wouldn't that be nice?
So, yeah, about half this chapter is just like, you know, here's what was happening.
Yeah, yeah, bringing everybody up to speed right before we go on break, and then you'll forget it all again.
And then, like, stuff actually starts to go down at some point.
Like, Obito decides he's just gonna, like, taunt Naruto to his face now.
Yeah, he zips in using his teleportation thing.
He makes a pretty decent point that if he's this incensed because Neji died, why not just kill everyone and become way stronger? Which is a stupid thing to say.
I don't
but
think
at the
it
same
works
time,
quite like that.
It makes some degree of logical sense. And Naruto, rather than saying, "Hey, you're an idiot," just sort of says, "Maybe it's selfish, but I like having friends."
Like, let's be honest, you called him Nejo at least twice.
You fought with that guy once, like 4 years ago.
You called Hinata Neji once. You can't even tell them apart.
So Naruto does his big speech that everyone seems to be really happy that Naruto doesn't want them dead. Like, genuinely happy.
I'm not gonna kill them.
I
Oh,
think it's
good.
more just fired up by the passionate speech.
Yeah, hot blood.
I do like that they're showing this reaction of everybody smiling, and there's like one samurai guy there that, like, maybe he's smiling inside. I don't know.
He looks kind of derpy off to the side. Also, Sakura says her catchphrase that she hasn't said in a long time.
Shannaro,
Yeah.
yeah.
Her inner Sakura thing.
Remember when that was a thing?
Yeah. That just
They
kind of
chopped
petered
that
off.
out a long time ago.
Yep.
So then, what's his face? Madara realizes he senses something. A certain someone's chakra. It must be Hashirama. And he gets a really creepy smile.
I thought you could. Well,
What was
he
I gonna say?
basically gets a
He
chakra
looks
boner.
really crazy in
You
that
thought I was
manner.
gonna say chakra boner?
It's essentially what it is. He basically gets a chakra boner when he senses Hashirama.
He's like, yes, more cells that I can absorb.
So then the Ten Tail starts going nuts. It swells and engorges. God damn it. Son of a bitch.
I think we can safely say chakra boner is gonna stay in the lexicon for a while.
I think we've got our chapter for this week's episode.
Last week was so
So
bad, and now it's creeping back in.
apparently Kakashi has decided now is the time he's going to like use his Sharingan on the Ten Tails. And Obito comes rushing in front of him and they absorb each other by staring into each other's eyes.
So they, yeah, they
I assume Code
they
Lux, that's what
divide
the
by
heart is
zero.
playing.
Yeah, they go to finish their own fight elsewhere.
Yeah, inside of each other.
Which is kind of interesting that now it's just Madara versus everybody.
Yeah, that was kind of irresponsible, like Kakashi, now that I think about it.
Kakashi really wants to throw himself on the sword really bad.
You guys take this, I'm off.
But I think both of them just kind of want to end it so they can be with Ren, right?
They're just in that dimension, just chilling, drinking.
So then I'm guessing the Ten Tails is evolving again, right? Because they did say he had one more form.
Yeah, he was that whole time he's been sitting there waiting to
Level up.
yeah,
Yeah,
basically.
turn into
And
like Cthulhu or something.
then
The
like
stand-in that were like holding him in place no longer can, and it's basically Naruto's fault.
So then the final is like basically the apocalypse is happening. There are
Yep.
tornadoes
That is
everywhere.
a really cool looking two-page spread.
Yeah.
I imagine what's going to happen is that shit is going to go down in some insane possible way that's going to decimate the army, and the Hokages are going to come and just smack it away.
I don't know if they'll just I the world
Whatever it is,
hears the
like.
ending. I don't think they're just gonna smack it away.
Well, I mean, maybe he's going to do like a tailed beast bomb.
So how does Naruto continue past this arc when we're like apocalyptic world ending, bad guy?
I don't think it does. I think it's going to. There's going to be a contrived reason to fight Sasuke and then Hokage.
I mean, Kishimoto has said this is not the last arc, right?
Well, no, I think he said that there's
He says
a lot
Naruto's
more
lasting
than
longer than
people
we think.
suspect, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I can handle that.
Which I assume means Naruto versus Sasuke.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because for some reason he doesn't think that we know about that.
Yeah, so mostly a recap chapter with a little bit of development right at the end.
Yeah. I did like Madara recognizing that
Chakra
Hashirama's coming.
boner.
Yeah. I tried to avoid saying it for your sake.
It's part of the lexicon now.
We
Just
can't
move it.
ignore it anymore.
It's out
It's too
there.
large.
We can't put that boner back in the bottle.
Okay. I don't know where to pick up from that one. I assume next week, or not next week, but whenever it comes back, is they're probably just going to start with Kakashi and Obito because.
I'm really surprised they split off Obito, because Madara's a lot less threatening by himself.
I think he needs that situation where Obito is talking to Kakashi one-on-one.
I'm kind of wondering if it's not going to be Obito coming back drenched in blood, but alive.
Well, they're gonna need to. They need to get the Rin truth out there.
Yeah, he needs an opportunity for the two of them to talk.
Yeah.
And Kakashi had some weird line like, "Is Naruto your guinea pig?" So I think that's they're making room for Obito to have. I'm going to guess he's going to kill somebody big before he does it, but his like presto changeo repentance.
I mean, is the implication that he's seeing if what happened to him can happen to other people?
Like, probably. I mean, isn't that what every Naruto villain has done except for Orochimaru?
Yeah.
I mean, it's always they fight Naruto, realize their path is crazy.
I mean, is Obito's whole thing going to be he just wants to see someone good in the world and know that like the world's in good hands and not totally effed?
I don't know that it's going to be his whole thing.
Yeah.
I think his motivations are pretty much he wants to become the most powerful being and make a world where there's no pain.
I would actually like it if it started with Obito and Kakashi, because I'd like to know more about both of them and their relationship.
I think they need to get the Rin Truth out there. If not soon, then before Obito dies, certainly.
Yeah. It's if not now, then when?
Yeah. If not them, then who? Yeah, so setup chapter.
Yeah.
Not much to talk about.
The only other thing that I took away from the chapter was also with the reaction of, oh yeah, Sakura's a person, and then they made sure to have a couple panels with a Hinata larger than her, too. just to try and keep that establishment there.
You know what? Good. Good, because that I'm still pissed off about how they just ran over that in the pain arc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need it to be a romance manga, but at least fucking acknowledge it.
I will say I basically squealed when she said that to him in the pain arc, and then like when it was just completely tossed aside, like aww.
Yeah.
It's like oh what?
Does Naruto just not remember? Or... Yeah. All right. So let's move on because we have two ass classes to talk about.
Yeah. Speaking of tentacle monsters.
Okay.
The tentacles, chakra boner. What?
Last time we had a session in the classroom, Karasuma got replaced with Takaoka, who the government lady warned is a weird deviant.
Which you guys, for some reason, assumed meant pedophile.
I didn't say assumed. I said
it
that's
just
the feeling.
It came off that way.
Sometimes, man, you guys like see a little blood in the water and you're like, pedophile.
You're really defensive about this. I'm just saying.
I just find it weird that's... It literally did not occur to me when I read it, and then to hear both you guys say that was your first thought.
She said to watch out for the children, that she's worried about them, because that man's a deviant. Deviant only has so many meanings.
What she means is that he reads romance mangas, so, you know.
Aw.
He once sent 1,500 letters supporting Marika.
And then slit 10 people's throats when she didn't win.
So Takaoka is coming off as the happy uncle.
Oh, he,
or the father figure.
He directly refers to himself as a father and the kids are his family.
Yeah. He's giving them snacks. He's playing with them. He's telling, or he's sort of smarting off to Karasuma that, hey, these kids are not anywhere near where they should be.
He's the cool teacher that you had in high school.
Yeah. Yeah, he's showing pictures of, like, him with the rest of, his platoon, and they're all happy and smiling, and he's giving Kuro-sensei snacks as he's threatening to kill him. And Kuro-sensei's like, well, he's naive while he eats the snacks. And he insists that, he backs up Kurosuma, basically, like, he's still the P.E. teacher.
Yeah, he can't does be not anyone, believe but... anybody else can be the P.E. teacher.
Yeah. But Kurosuma, it's his job. He can't really say anything about it. So Takaoka is having them do exercises outside and gives them... before that happens, is the weirdest thing ever. So that picture of them, like Takaoka with the his platoon smiling, for some reason he also had another picture that directly contradicts it attached to that picture.
Or like sitting
no,
on the
it was
table
it was another one sitting on the desk.
Like what? Why?
I maybe that's his desk, but yeah, still.
He's so proud of it.
So it's a picture of them like all with whiplashes on their back
and their hands
and bound
back
hands.
Back.
Yeah. So they were clearly either being forced to smile or are crazy. Like tortured into being brainwashed.
Yeah. Some real Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. some lotion on the skin thing.
Then it quickly becomes apparent that Takaoka is crazy when he hands them their new school schedules.
Yeah.
Which is basically like at most 2 hours of studying a day and nothing else but training until like 11 at night or something.
Yeah, and then
9 in the morning to 9 at night.
Yeah, and then they have half of Saturday also training. And then they get Saturday afternoon and Sunday off. See, he's really nice. They're students. He gives them, you know, part of their weekend.
And the weird twist of this is like, oh yeah, the chairman approved this.
Well, that a weird twist. He hates those kids.
I know. I'm surprised that. Yeah. Okay, I'm not that surprised.
Because they explain that their grades are going to go down, so that's why the chairman happily supported this.
What, physical pain to the Class E kids? Check.
Yeah. Speaking of physical pain, once somebody mouths off, Takaoka just knees him in the stomach.
Who is that?
With his bright grin on his face.
Yeah.
I'm trying to start remembering these guys' names. No, Sugino's the pitcher. That's the tattoo one, right?
The artist
guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's like Meha? No? Something like that?
Oh, Mehara. Okay.
Mehara, there we go. And Takaoka says that, you know, this is the family and he's the father. And you don't talk back to the father. So everyone suddenly realizes shit's pretty bad right now.
And then the weird part of Karasuma's like, oh yeah, wait, actually I know about what this guy's deal is.
I don't think he thought that he would go that far with kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is a reasonable assumption.
So what Karasuma knows is that he is a monster, but he gets results. He actually does create, like, the top of the top.
And it turns out that he acts like this because he is jealous of Karasuma.
Yeah.
And he's always competing for him, and Karasuma has no clue who he is.
And there is one gag that when the kids are not acting up to snuff, he threatens to just replace them with assassins.
Yeah.
And we get an awesome panel of Nagisa and Girl Nagisa replaced with men.
With crazy guns and incredibly hairy.
I love that it's those two.
I think he recognizes the joke, too.
Yes.
So he says he really doesn't want to actually replace anyone, and he gives him this really creepy hug.
Yeah, he's doing the, like, sociopath thing of being, like, super nice after.
Yeah.
He's
a ratio of 9 sticks fear to 1 carrot affection.
Oh, Jesus. And then...
Well, yeah, it's kind of directly compared to worship.
Yeah, showing a statue of the Virgin Mary, which...
Then he goes up to one of the girls and is, like, creepy McCreeps her.
It's Yukino, the girl that, like, was the deviant before becoming this A student.
Oh, yeah. And he says, like, you'll follow your father, right? And she happily says, no, she'd rather have Karasuma. And then this might be, like, the most disturbing thing.
Yeah,
bitch slaps the hell out of her.
Just open palm slap, licking his lips while doing it.
Like her neck hits the side and she falls. Ugh.
A good 120 degree turn on that slap of just pivoting his body all the way around. She goes flying, too.
Yeah.
And then, right after doing so, he flexes and poses.
Well, he gets in fighting stance that if they want to take this kind of tone, he'll happily engage them in fist-to-fist.
And gets, like, a very happy expression on his face.
Yeah.
Like, jokingly, like, ha ha ha.
Well, he wants to prove that, like, he's better than Karasuma. Yeah.
So, yeah, him, like, open palm slapping her basically made me want to reach into the manga and just stab this guy repeatedly.
We talk pretty much every week about how good this mangaka is, but he does probably the best way to establish a villain that makes it seem natural, too. He's not stealing candy from kids, but he's doing something entirely in line with his established personality.
Well, he's giving candy to kids and then punching them.
Yes.
That's even worse than taking candy from kids.
Well, yeah, I meant that as, like, you know, something that, like,
right,
not just a generic thing they're doing.
And little do we know, but that candy was laced with HGH. He was really just trying to help them, you know.
He's being the evil Karasuma.
He didn't replace Nagisa and Girl Nagisa. That's just what they look like after eating all that candy.
So he's threatening the students again that he's going to hit them and that they're all his family, so it's okay. And then comes probably a nicely badass panel of Kuro-sensei putting his hands on his shoulder saying, they're not your family, they're my students.
Yes, and
which for a second you think, oh, is Coral Sensei going to have to cut a bitch? But he can't because he hasn't done anything to Coral Sensei.
Yeah, he is a teacher. He is officially a teacher, so he can't do anything to him.
Yeah, Takaoka seems way too excited to have been challenged.
Yeah. Like, I think he wants to fight Koro Sensei himself. And Koro Sensei, he can't, like, he knows that he could just take him easily, but it sends a bad message to the students.
I mean, can you imagine if Koro Sensei actually wanted to kill somebody?
Like, they'd be dead before.
Yeah, Takaoka would be like an empty skin shell, like, in the blink of an eye, like, his insides would be all carved out.
I think if he tried to kill one of the students, Koro Sensei wouldn't care. Like, he wouldn't get this about stopping him. He'd immediately just...
He'd disappear, and he'd say, there's a body part of his on every continent in the world now.
Or just teleport him into the sun.
Yeah. So I enjoy the imagery of Takaoka explaining how he trains assassins of the scarred arm holding the knife.
Yeah.
That's really good, just visual imagery illustrating what he does.
Yeah. That he, even if a bunch of them quit, the ones that actually make it through are going to be enough. An elite group.
I mean, I can't say the world is at stake here. I can't say I disagree with him too much. Like, if the world is ending, what does it matter if a couple kids get their feelings hurt?
But at the same time, he seems to be enjoying it a little bit too much.
Well, that's the wonderful dichotomy of this manga, is that the end goal is completely incongruous with what we want to happen from chapter to chapter.
Yeah.
Like, if
our short-term goals are directly opposite to the long-term goals.
Right. Like, let's say you change nothing about One Piece, but Luffy is looking for the Gold Roger's treasure because he wants it to use it to destroy the world. That would be, like, it would change the tone of the manga, but it's still day-to-day, they're still going on an adventure, and that's what you want to read.
If it was all exactly the same, except for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, you don't want the world destroyed, but you want to see Class E succeed. You want these kids to be healthy and not being beaten up by some crazy adult.
Yeah, you do want kids to not get beaten. That is one of the kids in particular. Yeah.
Because they've established that Koro Sensei, even though he's essentially the villain of this manga, he's never going to harm the children. Like, by his own choice. So Koro Sensei,
until he destroys the world anyway.
Yes. Yeah,
but that's obviously not going to happen. Unless it does, because, I mean...
That would be the end of the manga, is that they successfully, like, their class takes all the top marks in the school, and then he destroys the world.
Nagisa has the knife and is like, I can't do it.
So, Kurosensei says, even though he could take Takaoka, it would make more sense for Karasuma to refute him with his teaching style. And Takaoka has his own crazy internal monologue about how Karasuma was always ahead of him but not acknowledging him. And believes, like, Karasuma's going to drive the car in his victory parade.
Yes. Him and the
just
assassin.
Just to show how far above him he is.
Yeah.
Like, he thinks he will be lauded as a hero for having trained the assassin that saved the world.
Which, to be fair, he probably would.
I don't know if he'd be riding in the car, too. But...
So the kids are doing 300 squats, and one of the girls can't really... or make it that well, so she says Karasuma-sensei, and Takaoka gets pissed off at this, because Karasuma's not part of the family, and children who don't rely on their father must be punished, as he pulls back a punch.
And Karasuma catches it.
Yeah. With this completely, like, thousand all, like, he just immediately got there. Because it's kind of understated that Karasuma is, like, the biggest badass in the series.
Yeah.
That maybe if he wanted to, he could probably stab Koro Sensei.
Seems like that's probably a contingency plan of some sort.
Yeah, if it the entire time he's probably also observing to try and find his best way to strike.
Yeah.
So
he has the fist, and Takaoka says, oh, I was waiting for this, that he's going to use his big play now. That if any one of Karasuma's students can stab Takaoka...
Or touch him, even.
Yeah, or even just get close. He will quit, and they'll go back to Karasuma as a teacher. But if he, like, none of them can, or the one he chooses can't do it, then they have to listen to him. So to up the ante, he pulls out an actual blade.
Yes, not...
not one of the Koro-sensei blades.
Yeah. A really nasty-looking blade, too.
Yeah.
He's fucking crazy.
And serrated. He's got a freaking crazy face when he's showing it off.
Well, because he knows none of the students can stab. Like, they are not ready to kill a real person. Koro-sensei's an alien. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, just a human is way different than an octopus monster.
So Kurosuma has to really think about it that, like, even soldiers wouldn't be able to do this, much less children.
Yeah, they show him just beating the crap out of a trained soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's his first time having to go with an intent to kill, and because of that, he's going to pull punches, so.
So Kurosuma's trapped, because if he sends someone to fight him, then that kid's going to get killed. Or not killed, but at least...
He might get killed. I mean,
yeah.
Let's be real.
That guy's crazy. And if he doesn't, then he's essentially saying, I'm a terrible teacher, and this he can't protect the kids anymore.
So he makes his decision.
That he picks up the knife and takes it to the only person who, during his test, has had some sort of killing intent. Which is Nagisa.
Yes.
And everybody's flabbergasted as to why.
Yeah. And he explains that, like, that he's, like, giving the thing to Magisa because that he wants all of them to have a normal middle school life.
And he knows Nagisa's already crazy.
Yeah.
And then we get, like, a bit of Nagisa's inner monologue, talking about how he likes Karasuma's eyes.
Yeah.
And when he's saying our family, is he talking in terms of the class, or is he talking, like, his actual family?
I think in terms of the class.
Yeah.
That's the way I interpreted it. Because everyone, no one really looks at Nagisa or pays attention to him. He's not the class leader or anything.
Yeah, at most his thing is just being the teacher's pet.
Yeah. He is the audience cipher and has been for a while. I think maybe we'll find out why he's in class E, but I get the feeling it's just because he doesn't stand out. And here's Kurosuma saying, I trust you with your entire class's future.
And he's going to do it because, you know, someone's finally acknowledging him. He trusts him, and he has to get him back for what he did to Kanzaki and Mehara. Yeah.
I do like this one part where immediately when Kurosuma gives him the knife, you can see it shaking, but then there's the next panel, you can see him steady the blade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holding it across his throat, too.
Yeah.
Because the angling of that panel is really well done.
This mangaka is really, really talented.
And then we get an awesome final page
of him Nagisa
loosening up while holding it in his teeth.
Yeah.
So Nagisa killed people before going into class or something, right? So it's going to be, it's like, yeah, his room was just nothing but skin pinned to the walls and left hands.
You're really dedicated to the Nagisa in the psycho theory, aren't you?
I doubt that it went as far as, you know, killed people. It wouldn't surprise me if it ends up that, like, it turns out he killed a pet or something like that in the past.
I don't think they're going to go that far.
Oh, I don't think that they're going to either, but if they're going to go dark, I think that that's as far as it'll go.
I think this is as far dark as they'll go.
Yeah, they can't have the audience cipher be like, yeah, also they found a bunch of cat heads in his backpack.
I think it's going to be that, like, he never stood out or people just never acknowledged him.
Yeah. Because everyone can relate to that.
Yeah. Because he is the audience cipher.
He just sort of fell through the cracks.
Man, now that we have a plot about a student using a knife against a human teacher, I get really worried about this. About something happening.
I think he's going to feel the same killing intent that Kurosuma felt.
I just mean, you remember the Bakuman thing of people reenacting their manga?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I get increasingly worried about that.
I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Most people
unless the teacher is, you know, beating them and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. Just saying. So yeah, next week, Nagisa's going to have to cut a bitch.
I think Nagisa, he's just going to... he'll be thrown off by the killing intent. And Nagisa will just get super close.
I bet it ends with, like, him on his knees with Nagisa holding the blade to his neck. And just, like, stopping...
Now, I'm going to guess it's something along the lines of him stabbing past his ear or something like that.
like right into the wall or something. Like,
yeah.
I could have stabbed, you know, 30 centimeters to the left and you would be dead. That kind of thing.
I mean, we can all agree that Nagisa's not going to kill him.
I don't know. That'd be pretty awesome.
Nagisa just like zips in and slits his throat and is like, okay, he's done with. As the guy just like screams and falls to the ground.
Problem solved.
Then he points at Koro-sensei and says, you're next. The sleeping lion has been awakened.
Yeah, good chapters though, like really, really good chapters.
Yeah, like great arc.
Ah, oh, this is such a good manga.
Like, I feel it just gets better and better all the time.
It's hard to, it's so weird just like looking at the chapter number and going 40. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's really short as far as a lot of these manga go.
Like, we did vote it best manga last year.
Did we? Beelzebub.
Beelzebub won best chapter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what's going to end up happening is they're going to show a flashback, and it's going to be... we're going to discover that Nagisa was always actually a girl.
Everybody called me a guy, and it just made me so mad. That's why they had to die.
Or Takaoka is going to, like, grab his chest and be like, have the anime reaction.
Again, we've seen Nagisa in the boy's bath. That's...
Have we?
We have.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know, there's only 40 chapters. Better go read it all again.
That cover page a couple weeks ago was pretty weird. Those hips.
Yeah. I do think that Ron's guess of the,
Nagisa
has
to
head
be up front.
Swap is probable.
Did you see me do the gif of the head swapping?
Yeah.
I don't think
it mostly
I saw that
fits.
Now.
It almost fits. They're a little wonky, but...
it'd be easy to do in Photoshop. I found out the other day that Naruto is drawn completely digitally.
Really? That's impressive. Yeah. Not a lot of mangaka do that.
Apparently it's a trailblazer in that aspect.
Yeah, it's actually kind of shunned, almost.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine now that Naruto is doing it and...
well, One Jump Man is obviously totally digital, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did I say?
And...
Jump. One Jump Man.
Yeah. I'd want to read that manga too.
And Gansu's too, but that's not necessarily a good thing because it's very, very busy.
It's about 30% CG at this point.
Yeah.
And also just real pictures just placed there.
A lot of manga do that.
Yeah. All right then.
We still have one more.
Yep. You got to finish the One Piece. Though I thought One Piece was kind of boring this week.
Yeah, it doesn't have a whole lot. Like, there's honestly not that much to talk about.
It's pretty much just character introductions the entire time.
I was actually thinking, like, before we were starting, I'm like, oh man, I forgot to read One Piece this week. It's like, no, wait, there's a little bit about that king that I remember. And I went back and looked at it again. It's like, yeah, okay, that was pretty much it.
Well, there's color character art first, which... okay, so the point of this is just that I think Oda wanted to show off Robin and Nami's asses.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm realizing that Robin has just, like, the most impossibly long legs possible. Like,
yeah.
Like, they go up past Luffy's board.
Well, she just has legs coming out of her legs.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's feet
I'll buy that explanation.
There's feet coming out of the bottom of her feet. You just can't see it.
Yeah. I do enjoy her nonchalantly reading the book while on the swing.
Yeah.
And I also like Sanji riding Franky.
Oh, she's reading Mr. Rain. I thought it said McBain.
Yeah, Sanji is writing Franky and Chopper is writing Luffy.
And everyone.
Though not by choice, apparently.
And Brooke and Zoro are writing a giant
and
cormorant? I don't know.
Yeah, some kind of penguin thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no cover story this week.
Yay! Sorry.
That's odd, isn't it?
No,
it's
they don't
page.
Do that. When they have the color pages, they don't do
okay.
that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ever.
So it goes back to the Colosseum, and Dr. Robotnik is still talking about his plan.
The gauntlet.
That it, yeah. the king is born with power, that he's basically One Punch Man that needs charging time.
With an hour of charging time.
Yeah.
Well, he is punching. He's just doing, like, little warm-up punches.
Yeah. So they just need to all protect him while he's charging. And he'll take out the last person.
And then the general guy from last week apparently is Dressrosa's general. Who
yeah.
Defected.
Because money is all that matters. So Bellamy sends him into the water outside the ring.
Which along with a couple other people.
Yeah.
And we find out about the fish.
The fighting fish that have bull horns and human, bull faces.
Yeah, so I guess these are smaller versions of the ones that are by the bridge on the way to Greenbit.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
I forgot completely about those.
Yeah. They seem almost like miniature sea kings.
Yeah. So Jeet and Abdullah mock a fish man that kind of blocks their attacks and, I don't know, character introductions over and over.
Hack, yep,
and
like,
he apparently is, you know, a friend of Jinbei's.
Yeah. Because every fish man knows each other.
Are you saying they all look the same?
I'm saying apparently they all know each other.
And I will say there's a Bruce Lee parallel that does not have a bowl cut, so that makes me happy.
Yeah. Did he looks kind of weirdly Aryan, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. None of these people matter.
The former gladiator Ricky?
Yes, who is clearly going to be that Kratos guy or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kyros, I think it was.
Yeah.
So Luffy and Cavendish are talking, and Cavendish is still super mad about all the supernovas.
Yeah.
Oh, real quick, I just want to say I like the panel of Bartolomeo or whatever it is, Bartholomew, just laying there while everybody else is fighting.
Yeah.
Oh, you had it right. It was Bartolomeo.
Okay. It was Bartolomeo.
Yeah.
Bartholomew was someone else.
Kuma.
Yeah. Kuma. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy that he's letting everyone just take everyone else out.
Yeah. Seems like he's just being nonchalant. He's just kind of lying there, which is, I'm enjoying his character.
Kind of reminds me of the Joker, almost, just in the way he carries himself, it seems. Especially with, that fake bomb last week and laughing about it.
Yeah. So, Luffy and Cavendish are watching the fight and talking. Cavendish is still mad about the supernovas taking all his glory. And then,
He has the posters of all of them, but he can't see their faces because he stabbed them out too much.
Otherwise, you'd probably be able to tell it was Luffy.
Yeah. Actually,
I don't know. Luffy's got, quite the beard right there.
This part kind of confuses me.
Hang on.
Go ahead.
Looking at the one he's holding up, that is Luffy's poster that he's holding up. You can see, the happy face with the hat, and but it's all torn up. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So I don't quite get this next part, that an older guy comes by, and does he realize it's Luffy first, or does he realize it's Luffy after Luffy reacts to him talking about Garp?
Oh, no, he knows.
Yeah, he says right away. Yeah. He says, my, how is Garp-san?
Okay. I didn't know if he was just talking to himself.
Yeah, then he refers to him as Straw Hat Luffy, and then Luffy goes, oh, you know my gramps?
Yeah.
Cavendish has a great reaction.
And then Luffy has a great reaction to Cavendish's reaction.
And then, what was this old guy's name? He probably said it last week.
Yeah, he was one of the guys last week, but I can't remember his name.
But
this is the problem when you introduce every character.
But apparently him and Garp have unfinished business, and he's going to take it out on Luffy. It is.
I want to say that the numbers on the head mean something.
It is Don Chin Zhao.
There's no way that the numbers can't mean something.
Well, they mean something that we know. But
remember the cover arc? We saw that person from who's his face? What's the green hair guy's? Kaido.
Yeah,
the guy from Kaido's group had an 18 on him.
Oh, that's right.
And this guy had 12, so maybe he's part of Kaido's crew.
Obviously he's one of the Arrancar.
Nobody said they only go up to 12. Man, that part was such bullshit because Aizen specifically says they're numbered from 1 to 10.
Imran, were you aware of this thing?
I was. This has been explained to me before.
Okay.
Nobody
just making sure.
1 to 10. It's like, yes, somebody. You don't need to do. Yeah, but this guy's occupation is only listed as former pirate, so who knows if he's working for someone else at this point. Yeah,
I assume.
I don't know. Kind of a nothing chapter.
Yeah, it was not a whole lot happened.
I do like
he
that
needs
king.
To stop introducing characters.
That it king just is funny for a visual joke, but I don't really need half a chapter about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm enjoying the fights and whatnot, but I would like to move on to the one-on-one fights.
I bet this will be amazing animated.
Part of the thing is Oda loves world building, and I love One Piece's characters. And when those conflict, when he wants to world build more than he wants to focus on the characters, I just, it becomes boring to me.
I think the problem is we know only one of these people is going to matter.
Yeah.
It's like, which one? Stop. Obviously, Bruce Lee guy is not moving on. Just who cares what his name is?
Like, I find Cavendish entertaining. I would have liked to see more of him and Luffy talking.
Yeah.
I want to see Cavendish meet Duval.
Oh, that would be great.
So Luffy, he's Garp's biological grandson, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Dragon is Garp's son, and Luffy is Dragon's son.
Well, at least as far as we know.
Yes.
There could be more shenanigans.
And Ace thought Dragon was his father, but he's not.
No.
Okay.
Gold Ace D. always knew his lineage.
Oh, okay.
It was never a secret. He was old enough when he got taken, I think. But...
Yeah, Ace and Luffy both knew that they weren't actually related. They just called one another their brothers, so everybody else assumed.
Yeah. Are you checking if Ace is still dead?
Yes.
I heard typing.
Yep. He's in fact still dead.
When was it updated?
Just so you guys can, you know for sure.
Oh. Anyway.
All right. Yeah.
So next week, do you think this round ends?
Next week, I don't think there's going to be a chapter.
Next chapter, do you think this round ends?
Next chapter, probably. I think, is going to get it down to, like, the King's group, Bellamy, and Bartolomeo.
And whoever the mysterious masked mystery man is.
Yeah.
I think that the King is going to take a swing at Bellamy, and Bellamy's just going to spring out of the way.
I was thinking you mentioned you were hoping Bellamy had dials.
Yeah.
If he had one of those reverse dials and just flung it right back at the King and KO'd it from the pit. I kind of expect that's what they're going when they're putting such emphasis on a single blow.
Yeah. Yeah, but also I can't really bring myself to care that much.
I was really kind of disappointed by this chapter. I don't know, it's fine, I guess.
It's, like I said, it's when One Piece wants to get to world building, it starts losing me.
All these
I think
guys
to the point where we want to know what happens more than we want to actually see it happening.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, all these characters are interesting and well-designed and stuff. It's just, I really think it's a thing that we know that only one of them will matter. That they've set that up as a mechanic of what is going on.
I think that's why Water 7 works so well, because they introduce a bunch of characters, then flip the idea on their head.
Yeah.
Because those are the villains as well.
Well, the interesting thing about that is, like, we're going to find a carpenter. Here are, like, 60 carpenters that we're going to introduce. Okay, none of those guys, and none of those guys matter.
Yeah.
Well, some of them do.
Polly. I was on Team Polly back in the day.
I have to.
You think someone's joining
well.
Every arc?
Well, no, but you knew that they were going to be getting a ship guy in that arc, and I thought Polly had a better chemistry with the crew than Franky for a real long time.
And he had a real interesting power that hardly got used.
I don't think it was a mystery to me, because I think right around the time I started reading One Piece is when Franky he joined the crew.
Well, no, you started reading after me, right?
Maybe. Oh, no, I started reading around Brook.
Yeah.
Which I think was right after Water 7.
Yeah.
Was it all of our mutual friend Roz's obsession with Polly? Is that who it was?
Yeah.
I remember someone we know was just obsessed with Polly at the time and just kept
those
pictures.
See, Polly and Iceberg.
Yeah, and Polly X Iceberg.
Yes. All right, I think we're done with One Piece.
Okay, end this before we go to fanfiction.net.
I don't know if there's going to be Jump next week, but there will definitely be a podcast. There
will always be a podcast.
Yes, we don't know what we're going to be doing with it quite yet, but...
Yeah. So, this has been your Thursday, April 25th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Yep.
Thank you.
We'll see you all next week.
There's a manga called Adolf.
Nope.
Oh my god, it is about Hitler.